Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Memphis shit. Let's go hook him up!
Another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm currently joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
I'm pretty good, but you always say salutations. What exactly is the definition of salutation?
Look it up.
I'm kind of busy. I'm running the show. I gotta introduce our other co-host, Couture. What's going on, Couture?
Nothing.
Do you know what salutations mean?
I don't know. It's just what you say when you say greetings and salutations. You say salutations. I don't know. I don't care.
There you go.
Well, I care because I'm perplexed. But anyway,
Did you say you're perplexed?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's
why. Important. Was that not the right word to use?
No, that was the perfect word to use.
Well, every once in a while I get them right. But we actually, I guess we're going to talk about news for the first 30 minutes before we're joined by Lance Storm later in the show. But apparently I took a nap and I woke up to some very big news on the internet, and that is that Kurt Angle apparently got arrested again. And what's this, like his fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh time?
Fourth.
And it's always from house shows, isn't it, pretty much?
Yeah, he's probably wearing them sunglasses with the American flags on them. They thought something was up.
That guy's got to be on something.
Those were pretty cool, though, I got to admit.
Think so, huh?
Boy, was that a good reveal last night. Wow.
Oh, the Tito Ortiz thing?
Yeah. What did Tito Ortiz do? Like a surprise like 8 years ago.
Wasn't he on 8 years ago?
Yeah, he was like a referee.
Yeah, that's right. I would have been upset that I missed the Tito Ortiz appearance on TNA, but luckily I saw the Tito Ortiz appearance on Bellator the night before, so... I'm sure it was about the same thing.
Yeah.
What the fuck they're doing over there?
That was no good.
Yeah. I know Couture didn't see the Bellator thing, but I did. And when Rampage, first Rampage is trying to make it sound like he's going to go and fight Roy Jones Jr., which would have been stupid because he would have got his ass kicked. But then he introduces his opponent and they play the music like we're supposed to know the music. And then Tito comes out, and at first I'm like, who the fuck is that? And then I'm like, he has a pretty big head. I think it's Tito. And it turned out to be Tito.
I think the better reveal would have been if it would just been the computer monitor in that Hummer that Daz, when he opened the door. That would have been much better to be off.
Right?
And who booked that finish of that match last night? That was fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
That Austin Aries AJ Styles match, that was horrible.
Yeah, that sure wasn't no. I remember a tag team match, the British Bulldogs against Valentine and Beefcake, and there was a collision, and the way they fell, like for one guy's leg, just fell perfectly. I mean, it was just the most perfect smooth spot.
Yeah.
And this, what happened last night was not that.
Right.
I just laughed at him. He was getting. You had to get all the arms in position, make sure you know everybody's shoulders were down. Yeah.
It's a great match, though.
Yeah.
Till the end.
Yeah, but that's the most important part, unfortunately, at the end.
True. So, Ed, what did you think of Total Divas? I know you watched it.
Oh, gosh. I actually thought just Craig showing his unmarried guy and his loyalty to Brian, and not to go against Brian.
I thought it was a very good
I thought Total Divas was freaking awesome. I thought it was great. The production was unbelievable. I mean, there's not a bad thing you can say about the production. Everything about that was top-notch. Yes, a lot of shit was fake, but every reality show was fake. Lance Storm was on a fake reality show, and if anyone's not going to try and be on a fake reality show, it would be Lance Storm. So that stuff's just fake. You got to deal with it. But I thought it was awesome. And then you get to see plenty of some hot-ass divas, so that's a plus. And I thought it was great. I loved it. I love Total Divas. I will be watching every week.
Yeah, okay. I put it on my season pass, so I tape it every week. It was a good show. I mean, it's just a bunch of silly, quote-unquote, reality bullshit. So
here's what I will do. I will recap the show using my Twitter, which I tweeted live at the show, or from the show. Okay? Starts off, at Ed and Sonia, Ed in San Antonio, at Brian Alvarez. Oh, what the heck. I will be live tweeting during Total Divas. Hashtag, got an hour to kill. 2 minutes in. Shoot names. Strange. Anvil.
Yeah.
Well, he's been eating well. Range Rover. Yeah. Question mark. Why do I have to be a handsome man and not a sexy woman? Natty by Nature is the at WWE's best woman wrestler, no mania match, babysitting instead. That goes on to Vincent is going to settle Bros Clay's hash. I need to see this fight. At Natty Eva Marie, Red is the new blonde. This one, right after Landstorm, he tweeted, okay, I'm out. And I said, at Landstorm, hey, you made it halfway. Then it was at Nicole and Bree, this twin is worried someone looks like her. Hashtag logic, question mark.
The other twin worried?
And then I'm guessing that this is right about the time that she was eating dinner with John Cena. It says, at Nicole and Brie, the twins eat? Question mark. Separate
one
baby.
Of them eat.
No, that's true. Michael Sempervivi tweeted, officially lost a follower, blaming all this on hashtag Totals Divas. Obvious. At Sempervivi. I thought I was the only grown man watching hashtag Total Divas. Cameron's having a breakdown, so I tweeted, man, Cameron needs a drink. I see that hashtag Total Divas show is getting the same treatment as the women's match at Mania. Okay. Just watched my first and last episode of WWE Divas Total. There you go. Those were my tweets. Aren't I clever?
Not really. And a lot of them are very spoken to the women out there listening to the show.
Like wrestling fans, that they're like appalled that shit is scripted.
I know, right? That's like the most ludicrous thing I ever heard in my life. Wrestling fans are mad it's a work. I thought wrestling was a work.
What, do you think you're watching MMA or something? You know? Jesus Christ.
After watching Balador and TNA, MMA might be a work.
Plus, whoever edited this, I don't know that they think wrestling fans are stupid or something. I mean, they put when Natty was she went up to Stephanie McMahon and said, "I'm sorry I missed your speech to the Hall of Fame. I was doing access," and this was like 7 days before WrestleMania, and the Hall of Fame takes place like the night before.
Mm.
And then they did like the CM Punk match and Undertaker match is what it was, the match like right before what the Bells were supposed to be doing, and I think it was much earlier in the show. So.
Yeah, I will admit the show kept my interest. I mean, I wasn't aside from Ariane, I don't know what her name is, Cameron. Aside from Cameron, I didn't want to take off my shoes and hurl them at anybody except her. So
I don't know.
Going back to your question about wrestling fans being stupid, you've been to live events. You know wrestling fans are stupid. I mean, the internet wrestling community is actually a small fraction of the fan base. There are some stupid people out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand people not.
I don't need to be like treated like I'm stupid, even though I know the way wrestling fans are.
Yeah.
Well, that's just one of the prices you have to pay for watching the show like that.
That makes me think that he is the one that edited all this and not like WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's their channel, so I would imagine they got a lot of say. So I can, but it actually was shot just like a really good reality show, the way it was all edited and just shot. So I mean, I'm sure it was probably like, you know, there's people from both companies there watching everything, but I think he would have the final say as far as what actually makes the show.
I actually thought the people that came out the best were, except for Vince, which I'm surprised of being WWE, they didn't give him a different name. So the ones that came out the best I thought were Cena and Daniel Bryan and who was it, Jimmy Uso?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or John or Bill or whatever it is. I don't know.
John, I think.
I think it was James. For some reason.
His name was put up. I don't know what's going on.
I really like one scene that definitely had to be set up was the Eva Marie reveal of the hair to Jane.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly would have liked to have seen if that was a shoot and she actually did that with nobody knowing and walking in like that, because that would have been fun.
Right.
That and Natty being told Natty probably knew she wouldn't have a match at WrestleMania probably a year before WrestleMania. Let's be honest.
Sure.
Yeah, that was pretty, you know, that's right there. Right off the bat, you know, you knew everything was going to be a work after watching that, like Natty and she thought her.
I like watching this.
Was going to be on WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean this. I just still like watching some of the backstage stuff, whether it's scripted or not. I think it's neat, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed it. I thought everything was great. You know, you do see how Ariane is kind of a crazy bitch, and you know the Bellas. You know, they were all right. You know, Nikki's pretty good at being a little bitch. And Brie comes off somewhat likable at times. And that one newbie, JoJo, that girl is tiny, man. I think she's even smaller than AJ. I think she might be getting killed if she starts getting into the ring a lot.
She's only 19, too. I believe they said.
She looks 16.
Yep. Of course, so does their women's champion, so.
That's true.
Actually, she looks 17, a little slightly older, but I hear what you're saying. But I'm sure your buddy Brian loved the show. He just can't admit it because, you know, then he looks stupid and, you know, you can't have that.
He thought the show was fine. Did you not listen to his radio shows this week?
Him saying that the show was fine with him actually saying the show was awesome, he just can't admit it.
Okay.
And he's just a little he needs to inform me when he's not doing the Friday update so we can get a, I can send a flight to Dave instead. I mean, this is just, you know, this is outrageous.
I'll tell you what's outrageous is we're going to have Lance Storm on the show, and you want to talk about television shows with him.
Do you want me to copy and paste you a message that Lance said that he wants to do the show?
Well, we figured he wanted to do the show since he's going to be on the show.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'm saying. There's three of
us. It was actually him saying that, hey, Ed, I want to do the show about Battlestar Galactica. Let me know when you want to do it.
Okay. So there's three of us.
So,
do you watch Battlestar Galactica?
To me? I tried.
Yeah.
Here's my insomnia.
Yeah.
That was about it.
Okay. How about Game of Thrones? Is that up your alley as well?
Actually,
Game of what? Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Oh, there's only one Game of Thrones that I play, and it's about once a day, about 6:30 after I eat.
Good. Okay. So I've never seen either of them. So Ed and Lance are going to talk about TV, and what are Katrina and Craig going to do?
Katrina's taking off.
Yeah.
I'll say that right now.
This is going to be just as good as the All Japan Women's show that we did.
And that show got rave reviews. That's why Dave praised that favorite show. Yeah.
Was it better than the New Japan I pay per view?
Craig Piggy and Akira Hokuto works for Telelip? Yeah.
That's right.
It's better than that.
Yeah. Rip the scab off of that.
It's fine.
I don't care.
Craig.
I mean, if you want to talk about GoBots, talk about GoBots.
Here's the thing, Craig. Let's say we were to book somebody that you're a big fan of, say, Shelly Martinez, and say, Shelly Martinez says, hey, I'll talk of some wrestling, but I want to talk 20, 30 minutes about God. I would let you talk about God with Shelly Martinez and just sit back and relax and interject when I could, because I am a professional, you know, and sometimes, you know, baby, you don't know, you don't like the subject, fine, you know, I don't complain when you talk about Pro Jam. I don't complain when Contreras does reviews of the Human Centipede or the Human Centipede 2. You know, sometimes
two years ago,
go with the flow. And when I was
Hold
in
on.
Vegas, I told you guys, you guys do a show, whatever y'all want to do. It's not my fault y'all didn't do it.
So, when was the hour and a half long Pearl Jam show or the hour and a half long Human Centipede show that we did? So
that,
don't
Human
that.
That review went on way too long. That was grossing me out.
It did not.
That is true.
First of all, it was like 2 years ago, so you can't possibly remember.
Oh, by the way, since we have Ed on the phone, reading off my Facebook, I listened to the radio today, and there's this commercial, and it's for a big conference in our area. It's all about medical marijuana and the business ventures around medical marijuana, blah, 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 blah. And they said, don't miss this awesome business venture Saturday, August 2nd. Today's Friday,
well,
August 2nd, stoners.
Well, they're stoners. What do you expect?
I died.
I just the guy who typed that must have just took a big hit off his bong and just started typing away and, you know.
I could not believe it. I was dying listening to this. But
I would imagine there'd be a lot of stoners at the Twin Peaks Festival there this weekend.
Well, I know of a couple. Anyway.
When Lance comes on, I'm going to do Ed a favor and I'm going to let Ed have it. I'm going to go eat. How's that? That's fair.
I'll do you a favor.
Plus, I've been watching Hell's Kitchen on Hulu, and I got hooked on it, so.
That's an English cook.
Yeah.
He likes to yell at everybody.
A donkey and a stupid bitch.
He's just, he's the cooking version of the dude from American Idol.
A little bit more bombastic.
A little more bombastic.
Yes.
Didn't somebody from San Antonio win, like, the last one?
I don't know.
Whoa, what are you talking about?
The last Hell's Kitchen. Or...
I don't even know if I saw the end of the last Hell's Kitchen.
Well, whatever.
I may be watching it now, so.
Oh, new update on the site. New update on the site. Kurt Angle just sent out a message on Twitter indicating that he is headed to rehab after being arrested late last night and driving while intoxicated. He was arrested driving in Decatur, Texas, on the way from Wichita Falls, where he wrestled last night, to Tyler, Texas. Oh, he's going to Tyler. Gotcha. Where he is scheduled for a show tonight. He was released on $2,000 bond today. I am blessed to have the support of my family, my friends, and my company, he noted. In light of recent events, I will be immediately entering a rehabilitation center. I realize this is a pivotal time in my life, and I ask for your understanding as well as your prayers and continued support. I am confident that in taking these steps, I can begin to address necessary changes in my life. End quote.
I wonder if TNA's in here to WWE rehab so you don't have to pay for it. That would be awesome.
That actually would be fucking awesome if that happened.
Yeah. Hey, Vince, this is Kurt.
I had just seen his tweets right before. I can actually read them. Which one did you read? The Rehabilitation Center one? And then he tweeted, continued support. I am confident that in taking these steps, I can begin to address necessary changes in my life. Why do I not believe this?
Well, this is such important news that Dave posted it twice on the front page.
Dave has a tendency of doing that a lot. I think he's
more of a breaking news audio than the Tito thing.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Yeah, that's it. It would be awesome if Brian had to step away from his anniversary party to do a breaking audio with Dave. Because you know if Dave texts him and calls and says, hey, we're doing this, he's doing it because he's Dave's talking, you know, his runner, basically. He's like Scooter from the Muppets.
The other thing that we didn't, it was actually a pretty big story. I mean, it made all the rounds on all the news sites. Randy Orton got attacked by a quote-unquote fan this week.
That was just like a wrestling show, you know?
Yeah.
Just stuck in there, gave him a low blow.
Well, he did the fakest low blow.
He was also standing in the ring for a very long time before he even went
for a spot.
Mm-hmm. The way I kind of saw it is Randy's up on the ring post there or on the turnbuckle celebrating, and he feels what he thinks is a low blow, so he immediately starts selling because he's in show mode, and then he rolls over and sees that it's independent wrestler, insert name here, because if you can pronounce that, you're a better man than I am. And 20-year-old independent wrestler gives him the fakest Ric Flair low blow you've ever seen in your life. He goes down selling. He turns around. There he is. The security grabs him, probably saved the young man's life, let's be honest. And as they're pulling him out of the ring, Randy kicks him in the head.
Yeah, you got a good
awesome.
Kick in.
Here's
that's the best part when the fans attack and the wrestler is able to get a shot in. I think it's like the law or something. You can just beat the piss out of somebody and do shit like that to you.
Absolutely. Here's the best thing. He pled guilty, and he was ordered to either pay a fine of 500 rand, which is $50, or serve 30 days in jail.
That's not even a choice.
What did he go for?
I'm hoping he took the $50.
Okay. Well, he did have to quit his job to apparently just go to the show.
Well, that was stupid.
That was stupid.
Yeah. But
what an idiot.
It was just weird. They had it up on WWE.com, which they would never do something like that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I know. It's like going back to wrestling being a work, it's just whether it's real or not, it's just everyone's going to think it's a work anyways because, you know.
Mm-hmm. If it is, I don't know the purpose. You know,
They could be trying to get him over like they got Santino Marella over beating Umaga out of the stands wearing his red shoes that one time.
I bet you that doesn't happen. This guy was an idiot, and he was not a average WWE wrestler size. Let's be honest. Didn't Zach Gallen start off as a fan as well, a quote unquote fan?
Well, I would imagine every wrestler started off as a fan.
No. I mean, they introduced his character as
a fan. The crowd when they did that angle.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right about that. Who they did? They did that was Zach Santino.
Mm-hmm.
Did they do that with anybody else?
My mind is a blank.
China. They did it with China. Was it China like a
I think something like that. I think there was Earthquake and Ultimate Warrior back in 1989. Hillbilly Jim.
Yeah, Hillbilly Jim. That's probably one of the best ones, Hillbilly Jim.
Couture sent us both a link this week. We won't say where because we don't want to incriminate anybody. But I watched the whole Dynamite Kid documentary.
I watched it too.
Guys?
I actually haven't had time. I've been wanting to see it, but I haven't had time to see it. I'm probably going to see it hopefully tomorrow. But you can talk about it if you want.
This is a great documentary done by High Spots.
I don't even know what Dynamite Kid had to be involved in this because he didn't say shit.
Well, he. As you said, he was. It was a good thing they didn't just have him as a shoot interview because this would have been the most boring thing you've ever laid your eyes on.
Yeah, I mean they had to use subtitles and everything. You can hardly even tell what he was saying.
Mm-hmm. He's
like one word answers. Yep. No. Sometimes
right.
Maybe.
He's in a wheelchair. He looks very decrepit. He looks very old. Looks very, very rail thin. And it looks like he's just all drugged up at all times. It looks like me.
Yeah. This looks miserable.
Hey guys. Craig, would you like to introduce our guest?
Oh, okay. Our guest tonight has wrestled all over the world. And he is a bona fide superstar because Chico Alvarez told me so. So Ed brought him on the show to talk about science fiction. Welcome to the show, Lance Storm.
Great intro.
I pulled that off the top of my head. I did not write any of that out.
There you go. I hope there wasn't a whole lot of forethought put into that.
No, there was none, actually, because that caught me by surprise. You and Ed were going to debate television, so Katrera and I were going to slip out after a couple of questions, so... No.
Once you zoned out, you're going to hang up.
Exactly.
Well, guys, you should have your time. Have at it. And of course, they don't ask
you.
We were just talking about
say total divas or total crap.
I beg your pardon?
Total divas or total crap?
For me, total crap, because I hate reality television. By reality television standards, perhaps it's all right, but I just find, especially since wrestling's come out of the closet and admitted what it is, I find it ridiculous to watch shows that are every bit as fake and believe in them. And I just can't stomach the majority of what's going on. And I don't care enough about the emotional relationship of John Cena and Nikki Bella to invest any time.
That's the best answer ever. Didn't grip you in like The Notebook?
Can't say as I've seen The Notebook.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, but yeah, John Cena and Nikki playing in the rain and reenacting a scene from the movie is like, okay. I like that even less than his matches. Jesus.
Hey, have you ever bought your wife a Range Rover?
I've not, no. I did buy her a ring, though, so that gets me out of having to buy a Range Rover.
Well, I think it was Sepp Rivivi that said, he wrote Range Rover equals promise ring. It was either him or Junior Horseman, one or the other.
There you go. Although, don't you think it would have made a lot more sense to, because again, I think the Range Rover gift was actually before they had the sit down conversation in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And it's like from an editing standpoint, wouldn't it have been a lot better to build drama if they had the conversation of, you know, where is this going? I need to know where it is. And then as a overcompensation, he buys the Range Rover, and then they can debate whether he's trying to buy her off and thus build more drama.
Right.
Rather than just
that
out of the blue.
Total sense.
Yeah, out of the blue, rather than, well, he buys her a truck, and then she goes, well, I want to know if you're serious or not, John. It's like, no, I just buy trucks for anybody. I don't.
Well, he's about $78,000 serious.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, again, this is one of the reasons why I gave up on World of Hurt after one season and wanted nothing to do with it, because, again, I thought our show was shit, was just the laziness of editing. It's like, if you're going to try to make us believe that this crap is real.
Hello? Can anybody hear me?
Hello? I'm here.
Okay. Well, it looks like you,
Lance,
me, and Lance. Lance, are you there?
It says it is on my phone.
Okay, well, Craig's coming back. Craig, are you there?
Yeah, what up?
Okay, I don't know what happened. That was like a Blog Talk thing. We're not sure if we have Lance on the line. It looks like he's on, but he hasn't said anything. Lance, are you there?
His way of getting out.
Let me Facebook him and say.
Tell me again why Blog Talk's okay.
We haven't had this kind of a problem in a while. But let me.
Lance is ranting about Total Divas, and can anybody hear him?
Okay, he did drop off the switchboard, so
there you go.
Hopefully he'll call back. That was weird. I thought I got disconnected because I just didn't hear anything, and then I was like, what the hell? Because that happens every once in a while. Okay, Lance is calling back in. Lance, sorry about that. That was a Blog Talk issue. I have no idea what happened. I'm not even sure when we lost you, but I guess you could finish talking about what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's just the detail to editing. You know, if you're going to try to make us believe this is real, you should, again, cross all your T's and dot your I's, as you should in wrestling, although they don't seem to do that as much either. But the Stephanie McMahon cameo at the beginning with Natty, where she apologized for missing the Hall. Well, for apologizing for missing the Hall of Fame, which means that took place the afternoon of WrestleMania. And then we proceeded to have three or four more days of stuff going on before WrestleMania.
It was like 7 days before. When they
yeah. So it was just, you know, like, well, we need a Stephanie cameo at this moment, so we'll throw this bit in. And it's like good movies, you know. They have people that are supposed to be in charge of continuity.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't bother, it just, again, it just throws up the big flag that it's all fake. And that was one of the issues I had with World of Hurt when they did it. It was so much lazy shit editing. I just couldn't.
The CM Punk Undertaker match, and they said which was like earlier in WrestleMania. So I think actually the one before the
Divas was going, I think, was actually Triple H and Brock Lesnar. So.
Really? I have no idea. I don't recall. But just little things that annoy me and just send up the flag that this is fake or they put little effort into it that I don't like. And again, that was one of the reasons why I turned down a paycheck to do season 2 of World of Hurt, because I thought it was just poor television. And so little things like that, it's just, you know, because again, I lasted 30 minutes watching the show, and I was actually going to give it up after 10 minutes. Sorry?
I was going to say, did you get to the part with Eva Marie showing up with the red hair to Jane?
No, I think they were just going in to get her hair done when I left.
Okay.
I was going to quit the show after 10 minutes, and my daughter, who sat down to watch it with me, is like, no, come on, you can tough out one episode. And so I sat back down, and after about 20 minutes, I went to get up again, and she convinced me to sit back down. But after 30 minutes, I just tapped out.
Well, I was going to say, what happened is Eva Marie goes to get old blonde, but she doesn't like it, so she tells him to make her hair red instead. And then she shows up, and Jane has, like, kind of a surprised look, but then she says that she actually likes it and it's a good thing, but, like, toe the line. And you've been backstage. You know the politics. If they were to tell one of the girls, go old blonde, she shows up red, what would happen? I mean, wouldn't they, like, actually, like, you know, almost fire her for something like that?
They would probably give her, you know, this is, you know, you have two options. One is go back and make it blonde, or there's the door, I would imagine. But it just, even just the beginning of the show when they said they want her to go blonde, just for someone who's that dark, it's like blonde is going to be a hard one to even do. So I call shenanigans right off the bat. It's like, well, we'll tell her she has to go blonde. We'll do the swerve. It'll be red. We'll create drama. And it's just crap like that I just don't have time for. And, you know, the absurdity of, again, sitting down with Natty at the hotel WrestleMania week to explain to her she doesn't have a match and she's crushed. It's like, really? All the fans knew weeks before that just by watching the television show.
Sure, she
wasn't she even doing the farting gimmick at the time?
I don't know, but, you know, there isn't a person that didn't know by the time they arrived in New York for WrestleMania week what the card was and whether they were on it or not. So it's just little things like that I can't stomach because I don't want to be lied to and told that this is real when I know it's not, which is why I can't watch reality television. And even as a kid, thanks, you know, to my dad, who was, you know, the eternal skeptic, it's like I never believed wrestling was real either. So I always watched it knowing what it was and enjoyed it as what it was. But with reality TV, there's still so many people trying to convince you that it's real. Even just the amount of fans on you know, social network and so forth that, you know, we're talking about how, you know, they kind of like all that extra little, you know, glimpses behind the curtain and backstage. I'm like, well, they're no different than the backstage segments on Raw. They're staged. They're constructed. They're showing you what they want to show you. It's, you know, you probably got a far better look backstage with Wrestling with Shadows than you're ever going to get on Total Divas.
Mm-hmm.
You never had a way to, like, have the show to get your gear ready to run out to the ring?
beg your pardon?
You never had to wait for the seamstress to make your gear halfway during the show, and you had to, like, to run out at the last minute, like,
No, especially not at WrestleMania, no. I made sure I had gear ahead of time. Although I know Shawn Michaels, when he won the world title with his big comeback in the Elimination Chamber, when he had the brown tights, from what I understand, he showed up that day without a pair of tights, figuring that the seamstress would just have him a pair because she's always made him a pair for pay-per-views. And she didn't know she was making him a pair, and apparently the only fabric she had was the brown, which is why he ended up wearing brown tights that day.
That explains so much.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't sitting at home months ahead of time going, what I want to wear when I win the world title is brown trunks.
Is it autumn or fall? I can't. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Thank God he's one of the best ever because he actually managed to live that down.
Well, right before you called in.
That's like breaking news. No, that's like breaking news. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people who have always wanted to know the story behind the brown trunks.
Yeah, it was funny too, because as you know, Jericho was a huge Shawn mark, but it was always a running joke in Calgary when we broke in. The guys that were really bad, we used to sort of joke. It's like, yeah, all they need is a pair of brown tights, and we can call them the drizzling shits. It was sort of the running rib for guys that were crappy. So when we were there, I think that was actually at Madison Square Garden, I think, for some reason. But that night, anyway, when Shawn went out in the tights, it's like Jericho and I both looked at each other, and we both smiled and both thought the same thing. It's like, oh, my God, Shawn Michaels is wearing the drizzling shits tights.
That's awesome. There's an extra on the Shawn Michaels DVD where Hunter and Jericho are talking about the brown pants. He just kind of makes fun of it.
Huh.
Did anybody get that DVD, so?
Okay, cool. Well, right before you called in, we were talking about the Dynamite Kid documentary.
Okay.
You ever meet Dynamite? He's from your neck of the woods.
No, but he was pretty much gone from this neck of the woods by the time I got here. Never met him. In hindsight, I'm glad I haven't, to be honest.
Sure.
That was, you know, like everyone else from my generation, was a huge Dynamite Kid mark. Thought he was just incredible, but the more you hear and read about him, the more I would assume I'm not going to like him.
Sure.
It's that old statage of, you know, and again, I don't like using the word hero, but that's what the expression is, never meet your heroes. But, you know, after reading, you know, I read his autobiography and found it very interesting, but he doesn't even paint himself in a favorable light. And then after the CNN piece post-Benoit tragedy, it was just, you know, okay, I don't really want to meet this man. Just the whole thought of casually talking about how it's not violent to put a shotgun to your wife's head, just, it's like, okay, this man is not someone I want to meet.
Sure.
It wasn't loaded. So.
Yeah, it wasn't loaded. She didn't know that, so it's not violent. But yeah, it was just, you know, it was horrifying. And even some of the stories he tells himself in his book are quite horrifying.
Right.
So I just as soon not meet him and remember the Dynamite Kid in the ring rather than the Tom Billington outside of the ring. So I don't have any interest in watching.
That came out of the book like in Jacques Rougeau a little bit more.
Beg your pardon?
I said that came out of the book like in Jacques Rougeau a little bit more.
That's true.
You know it's like the Dynamite Kid and Crispin Wall. You know what I mean? There's like two guys who, when you watch them wrestle, you're like just in awe of how awesome they were. And then, you know, you find out how much of a douchebag Dynamite Kid is. We know what happened with Crispin Wall. It kind of makes me wonder what kind of stories we're going to hear from guys like Davey Richards in about 10 or 20 years, you know, who kind of patterned themselves after that style because, you know, they beat their bodies up willingly and you know, they probably had like, who knows how many concussions the two of them have had combined, you know? So it's like, I kind of worry about the guys who kind of like do that style and as hard as like, you know, like Davey Richards, you know, a good example. I mean, he kills himself in the matches. I mean, I'd hate to see him end up like.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the style though, because there's a lot of people that have worked that style. You know, I think it probably bodes more to, the obsessive mentality that both Dynamite and Benoit had. They just seemed to be obsessed with you know, a singular focus that, you know, wrestling is it, and just perhaps there's something, you know, in their mental makeup to begin with that they became so obsessed with doing something more so than just the wrestling style. Like I laugh at all the absurdity behind the diving headbutt that, you know, because, you know, the idiot news people decided to jump on that with Ben Walks. It was like, oh, they mentioned concussions. Well, he was using a headbutt. And I'm like, it doesn't actually hit his head on you.
Right.
Because, you know, someone was mentioning, you know, the diving headbutt that Chris Candido used. It's like, oh, he's good. It's like, Chris's head never hit me. It's like, there's no different impact with the diving headbutt as opposed to a splash. Unless you're an actual complete idiot and actually doing the headbutt. But again, you know, you're only going to do about one of those and everybody's going to say, I'm not taking that thing.
Right.
So, you know, doing, you know, the elbow off the top, taking a back bump off the top, doing a splash off the top, is going to be the same impact on your head. So I don't really think it's, at least I hope not, that it's strictly the style. Now, granted, both Dynamite and Benoit were you know, major juice and pain pill guys, as well as just really, really mentally obsessed, you know, and singularly focused, that perhaps that was something in their genetic makeup too. Who knows? But I think it's certainly far bigger than just if you try to emulate the Dynamite Kid style, you're going to end up in an unhealthy way.
It's funny you brought up Baby Richards, Ed, because he narrates that that documentary and actually poses all those questions to himself while he's doing it. So.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good start.
Hey, Lance, I got a question for you real quick. Were you in, I can't remember where it was. I think maybe it was in Germany or somewhere. Were you there when Larry Cameron died?
I wasn't there. I worked that season. It was 1993, and I was doing the tour with Larry. Got to be pretty good friends with him, actually. But there was a, I think it was a 10-day break between the Hanover tournament and the Bremen tournament. And you didn't get paid unless there was a show. So it was 10 days where you weren't going to be getting paid. And I was extremely homesick and tired of being on the road because I'd been there for about 5 months straight. So I booked a return flight home for the 10 days to go home and see my fiance at the time. So I flew home for the 10 days and got guilted into doing a local show for a guy while I was home. And I demoed my knee and couldn't go back. So I had to phone Otto back and tell him I couldn't come back because I buggered my knee up and was going to be off. And so it was, I think, the first week of the Bremen tournament that Larry died. So I would have been there had I not hurt my knee. And actually, Larry had left a voicemail message on my answering machine only probably less than a week before he died, because Larry was a big pancake guy. And for whatever reason, you couldn't get pancakes in Europe. And so he had managed to bring pancake batter with him that trip, but he had forgot syrup. And he couldn't find any, so he wanted me to bring him back some. And I still remember his voicemail message because I had just come home. And it was, you know, it was just, "Storm, it's the lethal one. Don't forget my syrup." And that was the extent of his message. And because of my knee injury, I didn't get to bring him his syrup. And he was wrestling, I think he was wrestling Tony Sinclair and Bremen. And they wrestled in rounds at the time. So I had later talked to the referee, Mick McMichael, about it. And he said they had, you know, gotten the bell to end the round. And Tony had turned around to walk back to his corner. And they said he heard the crowd start to laugh. And he thought, what the hell? And he turned around and Larry's laying on the ground holding his chest. And I guess they thought it was just comedic that Larry's just walking back to the corner, grabs his chest and falls down. And he was, I guess, in the midst of having a heart attack. And the story I had heard, now I don't know this for a 100% fact, but that there was supposed to be EMTs in the building. And I was been told that to save money, Otto had just given EMT shirts to a few people that were willing to stand there and pretend to be EMTs to save the expense of having them on staff. So none of the guys knew what they were doing. And I think they ended up carrying Larry into the locker room and putting him on a bench in the locker room, and he died before the real paramedics got there.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah.
I think Larry Cameron, Frank, about a year before he died, he started popping up on the After mags and the other wrestling mags, and his name was starting to come out. And did Larry have the talent to become a big star? Because I think there was even talk of him going to WCW at one point.
He was in WCW for, like, very briefly, managed by Teddy Long.
He looked like a million bucks. He had a good look, a good body. He had really good intensity. I would say he was a decent worker. I don't want to say he was great. I do remember talking to Larry that he had talked to WWE and was offered the Flash Funk gimmick, basically, as a pimp. And I'm pretty sure he turned it down. Not wanting to be the, you know, why is a black man got to be a pimp? I believe. I remember bits and pieces of the conversation. It was, God, 20 years ago now. But I know that he was in consideration at one point for the Flash Funk gimmick. He was a Stampede. When I first saw Larry, he was on Stampede Wrestling. He was the North American heavyweight champion for Stampede for a while. And had a good, real good intensity of about him. And was a solid worker, but not... you know, a ring general that's really going to, you know, have the best match on the show every night, but certainly good enough that with his body and his promo skills and his charisma and stuff. He could have been a bigger star in North America for sure.
Lance, did they have do you get ESPN Classics in Canada?
I think you can, but I think it's a channel I have to pay extra for, and I don't.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say they were starting this Monday. They were starting like a marathon of Global Wrestling Federation up there.
Oh God, really?
ESPN Classics, and if some of the like the early stuff was like Jerry Lynn and Sean Waltman, that would be some good stuff if you got a chance to watch it.
Yeah, because I think I actually ordered it at one point because they had all the AWA classics, and I'm like, oh, this would be really great. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd record a bunch of it and stuff for my school library and so forth, but I found that they seemed to have about maybe 20 episodes and just kept replaying the same 20 episodes over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only so much of 1988 AWA and the Team Challenge series you can stomach. So I ended up
barely
just,
stomach that one time.
Yeah, so I ended up canceling it, and I don't think I have it anymore. Although I will check because I hadn't seen any of the Global. Although interesting, another interesting story when Jericho and I first broke in when Global was first starting, I believe, we had actually sent a tape and resume and stuff to Global. I think they did a tag team tournament at one point. We were trying to get in there. I think Bill Eadie was booking for them when they first started.
Yeah,
or at least in 90 or 91 he was. And he actually sent us a really nice letter back, just saying that, you know, he thought we had some real talent and some potential and wished us best in the luck and to stay with it, but they weren't at the point where they were bringing talent in across the border at all. But I thought it was really nice that he actually sent us and this is before email because we're all really old, but he actually, you know, read our resume, looked at our tape, and actually sent us a handwritten letter back thanking us for reaching out to him. So I thought that was really cool of him.
Yeah, those tournaments they had at the beginning, they had a tag team title, and then they had like a singles tournament, and they were actually pretty good, and they actually brought in Foley was on it, Terry Gordy, I think Chris Walker won the single, and then him and Sean Stevenson won the tag titles.
Yeah, that was when they were doing daily shows on ESPN. It was like a new show every day because they had all those tournaments every afternoon. Then I think some of the funding got cut, and they stopped doing all the fly-ins, and they just became basically like a world class where you just got those all the Texas guys, you know, like Akbar and I don't know, like Chris Adams, Black Bart, and stuff like that, and it went downhill pretty quick.
Go ahead, Craig.
I'm done, man. I'm going to give you guys 40 minutes to talk sci-fi.
Okay. Katara, you got any more?
No. That's it.
Okay. Well,
all right.
I'm sorry to cut
you guys.
I'm
talking
about whatever you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Lance, I guess we can get started.
Alrighty.
All right, Lance. Well, we're going to talk about Battlestar Galactica because you finally finished Battlestar Galactica not too long ago. And I was playing around on Twitter and Facebook about having a debate. Honestly, I guess you were a fan for at least 2.5 seasons before you started to change on it.
Yeah, it was somewhere around 2.5 to 3 seasons. 4 was completely lost. I think it was the tail end of the third season that I started losing interest. And then it was somewhere around, again, I stayed with it for a while, and about halfway through, or maybe even a quarter way through season 4, that I actually really wasn't enjoying. I sort of looked at my wife. It's like, are you even caring about this anymore? And she's like, no. So then we ended up finding a different series to watch, started watching other stuff, and figured we'd pretty much given up on it. And then we finished the other series we were watching, I don't remember what it was, and several people had suggested it was worth toughing it out to the finish, so we decided we'd give it a go, and after a long, arduous task, finally got to the finale and finished it up.
Now, did you ever watch the original Battlestar Galactica?
I watched that as a kid, yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember a ton about it, but I do remember that it was a pretty big deal to me as a kid, and we watched it a lot. So I did remember the original series a fair bit. I don't remember how it started or how it finished, but I remember watching a lot of it.
Yeah, the original series, even though it's kind of like a depressing like storyline, the original series, though, was actually kind of a happy-go-lucky series as far as they were, you know, having fun while they were on their journey. And it's like Lauren Green is like a real, like, he's like, you know, the nice commander, and he gets along with Apollo. And the new Battlestar totally went in an opposite, like, direction. I mean, they really played it up for the dark and a lot of depressing aspects of the storyline, which is, you know, a pretty sad storyline when you think about it. But I watched the miniseries, and I thought the miniseries is one of the best things about the whole series. And I wanted to get your thoughts on the miniseries and your thoughts on the casting of Edward James Olmos and Mary McDonald as the leads. I mean, because those are some serious actors to be on. You know, it's kind of like you wouldn't picture them being on Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, although, again, most of the change that you talk about is sort of the way television is going. I think, you know, TV in general is getting more serious and more dark. And in a lot of cases, I'm not enjoying a lot of TV because there is just too much shades of gray. I still need a baby face. And but also, too, in television, you're getting a lot more major, you know, movie actors that are doing television. So I wasn't too surprised with the cast. But I thought they were, you know, both very strong characters and were, at the end, almost the only two people that I actually gave a shit about. That they had, you know, everybody else just started turning into a bunch of bickering idiots, and I started getting tired of the whole human race.
Now you mentioned, like, you need a baby face, and when I think about it, to me, the only real true baby face throughout the whole series is Hilo. You know, to me, Hilo was always the one that just, like, tried to do the right thing, as far as other, at times, it seemed like every character did something shady or something that was that kind of, like, out of character. And what did you think about Hilo?
Probably now that you mention it, yeah, he wasn't a major enough character for me to be identified as the top babyface, but I can see what you mean, that he was probably the, and again, I think the whole show on the whole was trying to deal with racism, I think was the whole underlying undertones of the series, and he was probably the least racist guy on the show. Because at the end of the day, especially when the Cylons were skin jobs, that it really just turned into, again, either the war in the Middle East of it's just, you know, opposing religions that have, they're just fighting each other because they always have, or again, just racism because, you know, we're human, you're a Cylon, we have to kill you. So it really is just, for the most part, I think the underlying theme of the whole show was racism, and he really was the... probably the only guy on the show that wasn't racist in one way or another, or at least consistently the same all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Going switching to a couple other actors. They from the original, they changed Starbuck to a girl. They changed Boomer to a girl. And when I watched the miniseries, as much as I love Grace Park, I think she's one of the sexiest women in the world, I didn't think she was that great of an actress, but I thought as the 4 years went on, I thought she really, really improved on that. And on Starbuck, on the miniseries, when she's not in a Viper, I thought she was an awesome actress, but for some reason when she was in a Viper, she just didn't, I just didn't seem to take her seriously, and I was wondering your thoughts on the two of them.
I liked the change of Starbuck to a female, just to give you sort of a bit of a change of pace. I don't remember a Boomer character from the original series, so I didn't know that there was originally a guy in that role. Again, I remembered Adama, obviously, Lauren Green from the original, and Starbuck and Apollo. And was, again, the heel human in the original series, was that not Baltar?
Yeah, Baltar.
Okay, yeah, I thought so, which, again, I thought they were going to tie in there for a while there in around season two or three, but then didn't. But Grace Parks, is that Boomer?
Yes, that's the Asian
one. Yeah, I thought she was really good, and I think also, too, once she came out as a Cylon, so to speak, you know, any stiffness or any issues you might have with acting. I just thought was playing the role properly, because she did seem to be a little less emotional than everybody else, which suited well considering who and what she was.
Yeah, that is true. You actually missed a very awesome scene with her because you watched it on Netflix. And Netflix, for some reason, they didn't edit anything out of the series throughout the years, but they edited out the finale. And I don't know if you can recall, but she said that to tell the old man that she owed him one. Well, after she, like, they shoot her and she falls, they go to a flashback where Adama and Ty are calling her into, like, the office. And it's like to kind of give her like a pep talk and give her like a second chance because she keeps screwing up her landings. And it's like, it's real hard for me to explain. It's just like, I really wish you would have seen it because it's like an awesome final scene for Boomer. Really, you know, it really touched me because I was like, that she was one of my favorite characters. But what were your thoughts on as far as on like Starbuck? There was like a big uproar, and I know you said you liked it. I liked it too. I thought she was great. I thought her character was really good, and her storyline toward the end got a little weird. But what were your thoughts on Starbuck as a whole throughout the series?
She was one of my favorite characters, without a doubt, throughout the series. I thought she was really great. I thought that again. When I was complaining with last season, there was even people that said that, yeah, even the writers of the show said they really were just making it up as they went along there at the end. And I thought they kind of lost focus on her. That again, having her just turn out to be an angel, I thought was a bit hokey. They were where, again, when it was, you know, you were questioning who she was, it's like, okay, is she going to be part of the final five? What's the deal going on here? And then when it ended up that they'd already accounted for the five, it's like, okay, then what the hell is she? And then just having her end up being an angel, I thought was just kind of hokey.
I'm actually surprised, like, cause that's you know, I figured that when I watched it at the end, it's like, okay, she's an angel, and a lot, like reading at the time message boards or stuff, it seemed like people didn't get that, they didn't know what she was, but it's pretty cool that we thought the same thing. excuse me. I also wanted to talk about Ty, Colonel Ty, because. There's some similarities between Colonel Ty and Lance Storm. And I love Colonel Ty. He was awesome. I love the scene where he's trying to make up with Starbuck, and Starbuck's kind of being a bitch to him, and you can just see his cheek just like, I don't know, just moving. Like, you could tell he's, like, just trying not to kill her, but, you know, take it. It's like, I thought he was awesome. What did you think on Colonel Ty?
I thought he was great, but he ended up being the biggest flaw in the plot in the series.
Yeah.
That it just, once they revealed the final five, it's like you had to just throw up your hands and go, okay, none of this makes any sense anymore. To me, it really was the Vince Russo swerve for a swerve. But again, I thought his character was great. You know, the cantankerous drunk, you know, throughout the first couple seasons, he was fantastic. And great at it. And even, too, just he was someone that, well, again, you didn't necessarily like him all the time. He was consistent. He was who he was, you know what I mean? And then, again, it turned out that it ended up being completely stupid once he found out who he was. But just his deep-rooted hatred of the Cylons, he just stuck with no matter what. He was, you know, an awesome character and played really well. And I thought he
awesome
was
actor.
He was fantastic, but his character ended up being the biggest plot hole in the whole series.
I kind of will agree with that. I think what happened is right around where the show kind of changed, because I enjoyed all four seasons. I really did, but I won't say that the second part of three and four are anywhere close to one and two and the first three of season three, because those are just, it's like you can't get better than that. It was so good. But that was around the time of the writer's strike. So I think that kind of screwed up momentum. I think that screwed up, like, a lot of stuff. And I think I kind of blame that a little bit on those two seasons not being as good as the first two. But one last character before I start going into storylines and stuff is Baltar. I thought Baltar was, like, one of the greatest chicken shit heels I've ever seen. I mean, just from the very first fucking thing when they show him when they're doing that interview, that smug look on his face is like, this dude is perfect. And your thoughts on Valtar?
I thought I agree with you for the first bit, but he got to the point where he got go-away heat with me. That it just got to the point where it's like, somebody just needs to kill this guy. I don't want to hear from him anymore. Especially when he ended up sort of becoming the cult leader at the end. He really just got on my nerves, and he became my least favorite character in the show. And he was easily one of the, you know, the more interesting early on. It just got to the point where I just had no use for him anymore.
Yeah, they did get a little weird with him when he became like the cult leader. But those, like, when he was the heel, he was like the perfect, like, you know, heel. And I really love the stuff with him and Six. And if I'm not mistaken, like Six, Trish Hessler, I think is her name. I think this was actually her first real gig where she got to be through acting. You know, I think she had been in two little spots on TV shows, but. I thought, for someone with no experience, I thought she was great, real beautiful. And I love the reaction between the two in the first couple seasons, because you don't really know what she is. Is she an implant? Is he just fucking crazy? It's like, you know, what did you think
and
of
it? And it was never really explained.
Yeah.
It was never really explained. They both ended up just having each other on their shoulder as the... And again, maybe that was, again, meant to be the, is it the angel or the devil on your shoulder? You don't really know. But it never really was totally explained why they were, why both of them had their alter egos, so to speak. But she was really good. Yeah, and I think she was just a model up until Battlestar for the most part.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And, beautiful. I mean, when she had that platinum hair, I mean, man, she was pretty hot. And I think it turns out that they're like their guardian. I guess in the end, it's like they're basically the guardian angels for the two characters. But anyway, going to storylines, like you mentioned the racism and like maybe the war in the Middle East. And if you watch the first episode of season three, it's like the reverse of what's like going on in the Middle East. It's almost like if the Americans are playing the part of the Middle Easterners, the way they're like the insurgency and they're doing suicide bombings and.
Oh yeah.
I thought that episode was one of the top three, four episodes. What did you think of that episode and just that storyline? Because the first three episodes for that season, I thought were fantastic with everything. I mean, real dark, and I loved how they rescued everybody and everything. And I love the scene where Starbuck kills. Leoben, and then just goes back to eating like it's no big thing after wiping off the blood. I mean, those three were brilliant.
Yeah, on New Caprica, yeah, I forgot about that. But yeah, it was. I remember thinking at the time that I would have thought this had been real controversial when it first aired. Because, yeah, the humans were basically using terrorist tactics and all of the stuff that the, you know, the fundamentalist Taliban people that were all, you know, vilifying are doing now, and having them justify with, you know, we have to make a statement, we have to show what we're doing, and they're strapping bombs to their chest. I thought that was really controversial and very interesting because of it, where it is the depends what side of the battle you're on and what you consider of these tactics, I guess. But yeah, I thought that was really interesting. But again, it was apart from being interesting, it was when I was starting to lose interest in the show. And I think, you know, I've said many times that it got to the point where I wasn't rooting for the humans anymore. And I'm like, I don't know if that was ever the intent.
Yeah, I mean, because like I kind of mentioned earlier, like he'll be the only, you know, a baby face, true baby face, because every character, he did some bad shit. Or Rosman, she did some bad shit. You know, they all did something that, you know, your typical baby face wouldn't do. So I can understand where you would feel that way, and especially when how you said you need to have a baby face. You know, some people, you know, they just need that. You know, and you know, we're a little different
in
that regard.
Although Roswin, I think I stuck with the whole time because again, I believe that her heart and motivations were always pretty pure. So even if she was doing some, you know, dodgy things. She really seemed to legitimately, for the most part, have the human race as her motivation. But it just again, there was the one episode for me that really started the downturn. They did the one where the fuel ship started doing the strike, and
they went there.
and had these kids that are starving, but have been working, haven't had a minute off in months, so they're just working to the bone. And there've been so many episodes when they were whatever the hell that the big fancy ship that they had. I think it ended up getting blown up in one episode. Where they go and party.
Yeah, they had the hooker. Yeah. That's where Apollo had meeting the one hooker, and they had that's where the underground was.
Yeah. So it's you've got all these other people that are constantly drinking and partying, and there was the one episode again where they all got dressed up in their cocktail dresses and went to this place and they're having this big party, and I'm like, there's 40,000 people left in the human race. You don't even have a place to live yet, and you're going to hang out and party and have drinks and dance. And I thought that was a bit of a stretch. And then when you find out that there's these other ships that, haven't had, a moment's break from slave labor since they've, they blew up the colonies. And I'm like, well, why the fuck are all you other people out here partying? It's like I started, again, thinking that, it was just a huge inconsistency. And then when they got too heavy into the politics of all the people sitting around the table bickering over wanting say in government and fighting over government, and it's like, really? There's only 40,000 people on the human race and you're going to sit here and bicker and argue at a desk? It was at that point that I started losing interest in the show, and I found that they did that with both. The Cylons were fighting amongst themselves and the humans were fighting amongst themselves, and I just started thinking, you're both a bunch of, petty idiots. And at that point in time, I started losing focus.
Mm-hmm. Now, one question I wanted to ask, it's actually a very good episode where they have, the documentary film crew come out, and I actually didn't realize this until after the fact, but did you realize that was Xena, the Warrior Princess?
I did, although I'm trying to remember, my wife might have stooged it off early with that's Lucy Lawless, or it might have been a case of I noticed Lucy Lawless in the credits. And then once she spoke, I recognized the accent. But, yeah, I didn't recognize her visually so much as I knew she was in the show and recognized her voice more than anything else. I thought she was quite good in the show. Like, again, performance-wise, I thought everyone was quite good in the show. It was just the I started
the
getting annoyed when it was – when it started, the final – it was so perfectly black and white. You've got the humans versus the Cylons. And then when the Cylons started fighting amongst themselves – and the humans started fighting amongst themselves. And then also, too, once they, adopted Boomer as one of their own, it's like, okay, but now we don't even have clear-cut lines. Sort of reminded me when Teddy Long and Back the Mac, Kill Whitey, had Chris Nowinski join them. It's like, I can't really get into the black power racist group when there's a white guy with them.
Yeah, I can see your point on that. And, actually, I almost forgot to ask this, but I'm glad I just remembered. One of your I guess best friends had two appearances on Battlestar Galactica, and on his first appearance during the Pegasus part, did you even realize or snap that, hey, there's Paul?
I did, because I was looking for him, and I knew what episodes he was in because I had asked him, so I knew the episodes he was in and had a decent idea what he was doing, so. And he had talked, I think it was on Brian's show, but I heard him talk several times about, because his first appearance was the Grace Parks rape scene, and how much it really bothered him.
He told me on the show that was like the worst acting, like he enjoyed working for the Battlestar Galactica, but as far as seeing that was the most hated scene he ever did.
Yeah, that emotionally bothered him a lot. So I knew that, as soon as the scene started going, I'm like, okay, Paul's here somewhere, and spotted him. And I'm curious how much was on the cutting room floor, because it wasn't really that much to the scene. I wouldn't
he
be surprised
that
if
was.
They...
Yeah,
I figured
there
probably
lot.
Was, that they filmed that, and they probably realized that, this is pretty freaking heavy to put out there on TV, so they toned it down a bit.
It was pretty heavy
but, yeah,
it showed, actually. It was short, but it was pretty heavy.
Yeah, no, for sure. But again, just after talking to him so much beforehand, I was expecting it to be far worse.
Yeah, and like it's like if you blink, you'd miss him. But his second appearance, which is a very controversial episode because 50% of the people think it's the worst episode of the series, 50% of the people think it's one of the best episodes, and that's the Boston episode. And there's he actually gets some good airtime. Not like a lot of airtime, but he gets airtime where he's boxing. Like one of the characters is kind of a no-name character, but appears, and they're having a boxing match. And he takes a punch, and he takes an awesome bump into the corner and then to the floor. And I marked that when I saw that one. What did you think on that one?
I don't remember a whole lot of his boxing, and I do remember the boxing episode, though. I thought that was kind of interesting. I enjoyed that one, actually.
Yeah. But he told me that, like, after they filmed that his bump was so impressive that Edward James almost stopped him, like, went up to him and stopped him, and just him and Mary McDonald were just raving about, you know, what he did, you know, and so basically it's them, the scene is them talking, but in it's kind of like the background, it's Paul fighting, and it's like, he told me that was like one of the biggest, like, at the time, honors he'd ever had to have Edward James almost rave to him about his performance like that.
Cool.
Yeah. And I wish Paul would have been in more episodes. I wish he would have at least had, like, maybe a small part in the finale. I thought that would have been cool.
I'm quite sure he would have been happy with that.
Yeah. I know he was backstage for like a few other episodes, but unfortunately didn't come out. I think he was hurt or something. But yeah. excuse me. Now going to the finale, which is the which even a lot of the people who started not to like season 3 or 4, still a lot of them like the finale. I know some people didn't. I know you said you didn't like the finale. And I really liked the finale. I mean, it at parts had me in tears. I thought it had one really great final battle that was cool. I really loved the Adama, Mary McDonald. You know, I thought she was brilliant when she was so playing such a sickly character, and then when she finally died at the end, and, you know, Adam is there, you know, on his own. I thought that was fantastic. I even liked the part with Starbuck and Apollo where she just kind of disappears on him. I like that scene, and some people were disappointed that they didn't find modern Earth. But I actually like the idea that they were the first, you know, kind of human, not first, because there was already, like, pre-Cro-Magnum or whatever at the time. But give me your thoughts on the finale, and why didn't you like it, and what did you like from it?
Well, at the end of the day, it just felt like it made the entire series pointless. Because the end message of the show is, it all just starts all over again, and none of the shit you did mattered. It's just, the world's an endless loop. All of the battling and fighting throughout this entire episode, we're just resetting, and it's going to start all over again. It just made the whole thing pointless. There wasn't a beginning, middle, and end. It's an endless loop. You caught part of it, and if you missed it, well, you're just going to go through it all over again. It just ended up making the whole thing redundantly pointless.
Well, but in some ways, that was the religion, because that was like the one thing, what has happened before will happen again. So it's kind of like, that didn't bother me as much. But I can see your point. I mean, that's what, like, the people who didn't like it, that was their main complaint about it. But
I think what made it bad for me, and again, this was my whole problem with Ty and the original Five, is that the very first narrative of the show was man created Cylon, they rebelled, they evolved. And it's like, well, that's not really what happened. Because Ty was a skin job that fought in the original Cylon War. So the skin jobs were around before man even created Cylons. So it just, the entire plot of the show and the opening sentence of the show that's the basis for the entire thing was a lie.
And yeah,
really
that's true.
And when you consider the fact that Hera, you know, was on the planet, and people and some Cylons were landed with, you know, early man, it's like, well, realistically speaking, with evolution and everything else, it's like, well, are we to believe that pretty much all of the people on Earth were human and Cylon hybrids? In which case, it's not all started all over again, because then you've got human and Cylon hybrids that are building Cylons that are rebelling against human and Cylon hybrids. It just muddies the water with, well, who the hell is everybody? And, you know, Ty was the big... And also, too, Cylons don't age. So how did, you know, how did Adama serve with Ty for decades and not realize that he was old when he started and he was old when he ended? You know, that was just where it all fell apart. And again, it was the open of the show. Man created the Cylons. They rebelled. They evolved. And it's like, and then they fucked up the timeline.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that. What did you like about the finale of anything?
I did. Again, it was nice that they ended up finding Earth, I suppose. I really liked the way they ended Adama and Roslyn. Because they really were, to me, they were a great couple, for lack of a different term. And when they were going to settle together, you know, on New Caprica, and then it all fell apart, and they really did have each other's back and fought the whole time. So I thought that was nice that, you know, it was an emotional finale the way they wrapped her up. So I liked that, but just, you know, and they perhaps found Earth other than just, well, no matter how bad you fuck up society, God's just going to send you an angel and we'll hit the reset button for you. And it's like, oh, okay. It was just a letdown in that regard.
Yeah, but like I was saying, like the ending of that storyline with Edward and Mary, that brought tears to my eyes. And then I also like got teary-eyed with Adama's last scene on the Battlestar on Galactica. What did you think about that scene?
I'm trying to remember. That was another thing I was really actually annoyed at. When they determined that the ship was in such bad a shape they didn't think it could jump ever again and they're going to have to scrap it, but then they managed to plow, you know, they jump it, plow it right into the Cylon, what was it called, the colony or what the heck it was, you know, while it's, you know, blasting it with, you know, all their weaponry and everything else and pull it out, and it's like, really, this thing was supposed to fall apart and it did all that?
Well, it
kind of
did at the end.
It wrapped up at the end, but, you know, the head-on firefight, it's like, you know, had the ship been in its perfect shape, it might not have survived that, but it was so falling apart and creaking that you thought it was going to die before you jumped again. I thought that was a bit of a stretch. But, yeah, again, I think they did a good job of you know, putting over the importance of the ship to Adama, you know, and sort of sending it off into the sunset, so to speak.
Yeah, I love that last flow, like the flypod. And then I love how when they sent all the ships, basically they sent all the ships into the sun. And I really marked out when they played the original theme as they were flying away. I don't know if you noticed that, but that was cool.
Yeah, neat. But, and I thought it was interesting, and it was a while ago that I finished it up, when they tied in and had some of the original Cylons from the, you know, the original series, I thought that was kind of neat.
They
weren't all the same.
Yeah. Did you watch, speaking of those Cylons, did you watch Razor?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think
I watched everything. I think I've watched everything except, didn't they just recently come out with a new...
They did. It's called
the
Plan.
In the last years.
There's a one-shot called The Plan, and it actually kind of explains certain storylines. Like, it explains the six that disappeared and try to frame Baltar and stuff like that. It's actually pretty good. There's a lot of Dean Stockwell in it, so that makes it good. I thought Dean Stockwell was fantastic on it. But, I do want to ask you about two quick scenes, and on the fourth season, like the character Duella D, to me she was kind of like kind of like the heart and soul of the crew, you know. She was also, I think she was also like one of the two baby faces throughout. But the episode where she commits suicide, I remember watching that, and I remember the, you know, because I had DVR'd it, and I remember it finishing, and I just remember sitting there in my chair for about 20 minutes because I was so shocked at that episode. I don't think I've seen like an on-screen death affect me or make, you know, the way that her killing herself did. I was wondering, what were your thoughts on that scene and that
I'm drawing a blank on who this character even is.
She's the young black girl. The one that was married to a doctor.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Right, okay.
Right after they find Earth, like when they find the first Earth that's like the nuclear holocaust, she kind of just can't take it and just decides to check out. And that was such an awesome scene.
Okay, I'm remembering it vaguely, but yeah, I remember being fairly surprised. Actually, I liked her. I thought Dee was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, and another scene from that season, I know because I'm bringing up just scenes from the seasons you didn't like, but I'm sure you probably didn't like the Rebellion episodes, but what did you think of the final scene with Gaeta and Baltar? I thought that was so interesting, and I thought that was great. I felt so bad for Gaeta when, you know, they ended up executing him.
Yeah, that was where I started getting annoyed. Where again, it was the, there's 40,000 people. And again, that number really stuck in my head because, I grew up in a city that had 50,000 people and I considered it tiny and really sort of nothing. So it's like the entire human race is smaller than my little hometown and you're all mutinying and killing each other and fighting. It's like, you know, the human race is doomed and I'm kind of glad it is, was sort of getting to be my overall viewpoint.
Yeah. Okay, and I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to ask you before. Because I do want to ask you about at least one thing from Game of Thrones before we go. If it comes to me, I'll ask you. But the last time you were on the show, we tried to talk about Game of Thrones, but we had to stop because you hadn't seen that week's episode, which was the most important scene probably of that season. So what are your thoughts on the Red Wedding?
Oh, wow, yeah, that was shocking. It was like, holy shit. Yeah, that was pretty pretty amazing. I guess the thing that I found the most interesting of it is just that when this, especially because I watched, you know, all, whatever, how many seasons there are, three or whatever there are, watched them all on Netflix. So I watched them all really close together, and just because the series sort of starts at Winterfell, it's sort of like, I've always seen them as the main characters, and then it's like when you wipe so many of them out, it's like, oh shit, this is really changing course.
I was actually going to ask you that because when I started watching the first series, to me, the main character is the main Stark, the one from Lord of the Rings. It's like, okay, he's the main character, and then they kill him. It's like, what? And then it seems like Rob and his mom and they become the main characters, and then they kill them. It's like, what? It's like, am I wrong for the, am I thinking wrong that, you know, or I'm actually thinking about, why do I think they're the main characters if they're not actually the main characters and they're being killed?
Yeah, I felt that way at the first too, but I really like that in that, again, because there, for a lot of the series, there's sort of the self-contained kingdoms and the different stories going on. And I guess just because we were introduced to them first, we saw them as the main characters. But to me, it just makes the series so great because it leaves it open to, you know, everybody's fair game. You know what I mean? It's not like Star Trek where you see the dudes in the red shirts, you know, who can get killed and who can't. It's like, you know, you don't have Kirk and Spock that, you know, no matter what happens, they're safe. It's like, they can kill anybody on this damn show. So, you know, I really like that aspect because I was shocked because I really liked, again, I don't remember what his first name was, but Stark. Ned Stark, wasn't it?
Ned Stark, yes.
Yeah, because I thought he was great. He was one of my favorite characters. Tyrion is now. I love that guy.
Yeah, I love Tyrion, and I love the young Stark girl. I love the scene on the last episode where she he kills that one dude. That was just, that was like, wow. That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great series in that regard, because, you know, you literally have no idea what's going to happen next. Because once they, you know, beheaded Ned Stark, it's like, shit, everybody's fair game. And then the slaughter at the wedding, it's like, holy shit, they can change this thing in a heartbeat. So, yeah, I've been really finding the show fascinating.
Yeah, did you see the outrage that was on Twitter and the social networking after the Red Wedding? Because I got such a good laugh out of all these people who were posting, like, fuck you, Games of Thrones, fuck you, HBO. I'm canceling HBO tomorrow. I'll never watch it again. What was your take on the outrage that this one TV episode caused on social media?
I didn't see any of it because I was avoiding it like the plague, because I had heard that it was very controversial, so I was like, I do not want this spoiled until I see it. And even because I think we were following week by week at that point in time, but I think it aired on Sundays, and it was just a really bad time for us. So we'd always catch it on demand, like on Tuesday, when you could watch it when you wanted. So it's like I was never watching it right on Sunday, so I made a conscious effort to avoid Twitter, because I know there was several people that I follow that watch the show. So I made a real effort to avoid it all, but... obviously, I think it's way over. Again, if perhaps this didn't happen in the books, I could see people being more outraged if they, you know, did that much of a departure from the books. But I don't know if that was the case, whether they just thought that was too much. But I thought it was awesome.
I think just too many people just haven't read the books. I mean, it's funny because if you're such a big fan that you're that outraged, wouldn't you have been such a big fan that you read the books? You know, so, I mean, basically the spoilers are there. I mean, it's like, it's not like it's a surprise. It, you know, I mean, I guess if you can make it a surprise if you don't, like you say, you avoid certain things. But it's like, you know, basically you kind of knew that was coming, you know. Or at least, well, I didn't because I haven't read the books. But for, like, a lot of people, you know, it's like, you know, they knew what was coming. They understand what's going on the books and how anyone can die like that. And
at the end of the day, it's like, it made sense. It's not like it was a Russo swerve. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
It did legitimately shock me. I thought it was great. I think the thing that
Sorry? Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I think what I really like about the series is that it takes its time. Like, when you really think about it, especially when we were watching, like, a whole season, you know, on a weekend, it's like, not a lot happens in each episode, and I mean that as a compliment, in that I'm so into the characters and the dialogue and what's going on that, you know, you watch your whole hour and you realize that, boy, there wasn't really all that much that happened, but I was intrigued the whole time. Like, it really doesn't feel like car crash television. Like, even the first three seasons, you know, it was, again, a lot of people died, but it's like, okay, what's-his-face went sent off to the Night's Watch, and, you know, there was the killing of the king, and... the greatest heel in television, little what's-his-face. What the hell's his name?
Kid?
Yeah, the
Joffrey?
King. What the hell's his name? Joffrey.
Joffrey.
World's greatest heel, that guy, man.
Oh,
he makes Baltar seem like the Easter Bunny.
Yeah, that is true. Oh, man, you just made me laugh, so I forgot what I was about to ask. Oh shit. I guess we're going a little over the time that you actually said you could do. So, if you want to give any final thoughts on Games of Thrones, or go ahead and we'll start to wrap up.
I just love the series. I know I'm going to hate waiting week per week. I'm a binge TV watcher, and I hate waiting every week for an episode. There's a lot of TV shows.
Because it's not even on for that long. It's only on for 2.5 months. You know what I mean? That is not enough. They need. I wish it was more like regular TV series where there's like 20 or 30.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, at least a 24 of 24. But I find that, and again, I'm curious if, again, part of this might be, you know, concussions and loss of cognitive function, everything else. But I find when I have to wait too long between shows, I lose interest or I forget names. I like to keep myself fresh. And same thing when I read a book. I like to read at least a chapter a night to keep me fresh. Remembering what's going on. I've lost a lot of series that I've started watching either on DVD or on demand, and once I got caught up and have to wait week by week, I lose interest. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen with Game of Thrones, because I really do like the show. But we will see when I have to wait a week at a time.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. You get spoiled with Netflix and on demand and stuff like that. I feel the same way, so I totally understand that. I mean, I don't think they're anywhere close to being starting up again, unfortunately. So, and then I watched, like I said, I watched the series the way you did, all pretty much within a week. And I had a hard time remembering, because there's so many characters. It's like, I have a hard time remembering everyone's name, and I'm worried about when they come back, it's like I'll even remember fewer names.
Yeah, I remember the faces and, you know, what team they're on, basically, but I'm really bad for names to begin with, but I think I've managed to get them down, but hopefully I'll retain them all by the time the series strikes back up again.
Okay, then what's the name of the character who was like a ward to the Stark family, and then he kind of betrayed him to go back with his dad and sister?
Oh, shit. Oh, he's such an obnoxious little prick. I don't remember his name. But yeah, he's part of the Iron Clan there. I don't remember his name.
I want to say like Kilroy or something like that. They have such hard names, I mean. But I'm actually looking forward to that storyline with the sister going to rescue him. That looks like it has potential. But like I say, you've been on for over an hour, so I don't want to keep you for too much longer anymore. But I really do appreciate you coming on the show, Lance, and be willing to do something different. You know, I mean, you talk wrestling with Brian like every other week, and you know, it's nice to get something different. And I really enjoyed it. You know what I mean? I can understand your feelings on Battlestar Galactica. I have no problem with you not liking the show, but I personally, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to say I didn't like the show because I did really enjoy it. I was just disappointed with the last season.
Yeah, no, I understand it because they went from basically it was 24 out of 24, and then they went kind of like where it didn't, like they went, you know what I mean? It wasn't like hour after hour. It was like they kind of like changed like storylines and made it like more, once, you know, we didn't have to watch this episode from before. So
yeah.
I understand that. Stuff, but yeah, like I say, thanks for coming on, Lance. We really appreciate it, and hopefully we will be talking to you soon. And good luck in Florida. And I can't wait to hear what you have to say about the new complex and everything. And you know, have a good trip, and we will be talking to you soon.
All right, thanks. I really had a good time.
Thank you, Lance. Have a good night. Well, I really enjoyed tonight's episode, and I don't care if Couture or Craig did not, and because I am the star of the show, and but we will see everybody next week. I don't know if we have any plans. Craig might be. I think he said he was close to getting someone on the show, but I won't say who or whatever. So hopefully we'll have either a guest or something to talk about, and we will. Talk to everybody next week.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up! I'm gonna dog you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is awesome. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.